This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
We need to always go the extra mile. Never do the least that you can, but always do the best that you can. And even if nobody else sees that, God sees it. And that's what He rewards. Well, welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life. You know, I believe that we can enjoy every day of our life, but not if we don't learn how to live by God's principles. And what we're going to talk about today is the power of being diligent. Or another way to say that is to make a decision that you're never going to give up. Now, you know, it doesn't take very much courage to give up. Anybody can do that. That's not a special thing. But it does take a lot of courage to stick with something once it gets hard. It's not hard to start things, but it's difficult to make it all the way through the middle and get to the finish. And of course, to get from where I started to where I am, and I'm not just talking about being in ministry, but the changes that God needed to make in me in order for me to be able to do this, I was tempted to give up thousands and thousands of times. And of course, I would threaten God with that. Well, I'm just going to give up. Well, I could tell you that doesn't impress Him. And so I keep this in my home. It says, never, never, never give up. So if I can get it to sit there, I'm going to put it there so you can kind of see that while we go along here. All right, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those who come to Him must believe two things, that He is, He exists, and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. So one thing to remember when you're going through the hard part of something and feel like quitting and giving up is that there is a reward at the end, and you don't want to miss that reward. Whether you are trying to lose weight or gain weight, I don't know too many people that are trying to do that, but might be a few. Whether you're trying to build muscle at the gym, get out of debt, read a 400-page book, get a college degree, build a business or a ministry, being in good health, studying the Bible, it all takes diligence. And that means it's a process. Everybody in here say process. And it's not an instantaneous thing. And today we have, I think, a problem throughout the world of people want things right now. They don't want to wait. They don't even think they should have to wait and work and be diligent. They think sometimes that, you know, for example, like somebody gets a job and they think they're right out of college or right out of school, and they think they should get the same pay as somebody who's been there 12, 14, 15 years. And that's not even good for people. We enjoy things so much more if we feel like that we put some effort into getting them. For example, I was given a doctorate degree from Oral Roberts University, and so I could officially call myself Dr. Joyce Meyer. And I appreciated it. I thought it was wonderful that they gave it to me. They gave it to me based on all the books that I've written, and so the knowledge that I have of the Bible is seen in those books. And so they equated that to the knowledge you would get if you went to college. And I appreciated it, but it didn't mean as much to me as it would have if I would have went to school for 4 years and then have gotten it. And so there's one thing I want everybody to understand, those of you here today and those watching by TV or whatever device you're looking at, it's good for you to put effort into something, to be patient, and to have to wait, and to watch things change and grow little by little. Bible says in the Old Testament that God delivers us from our enemies little by little. I can give you an example. My husband and I both used to smoke cigarettes. And Dave was, he just prayed and said, well, God, I'm gonna smoke until you take away the desire. And next day woke up, never had the desire again to smoke. Well, it didn't work for me. I had to suffer. And it took me a while and a few failures and then a few restarts. And so I have much more compassion on somebody who comes and tells me that they're having a hard time giving that up than Dave could. Not because he's not a compassionate person, but that came easy for him. So when things come easy for us, we usually don't understand why they're hard for somebody else. And so a good thing to remember is not everybody is alike. And just because something is easy for you, that doesn't mean it's easy for somebody else. So when they tell you it's hard for them, you need to realize that maybe God gave you some extra grace in that situation. And instead of being proud about your victory, thank God that you had it and still show compassion to them. So the first area we'll talk about today just a little bit is finances. So many people have financial problems. They struggle all the time for money. And in Proverbs 21:5, it says, the thoughts of the steadily diligent tend only in plenteousness. But everyone who is impatient and hasty hastens only to want. So the individual who is impatient and wants to get everything without going through the process will always be in want, and they'll have lack in their life. Now, our ministry does not and never has had any debt. We've never paid 1 cent in interest on any kind of loan. Now, I'm not judging somebody else who does borrow money for something. There may be times when that's necessary. But the only reason why we're in that condition is because Dave was patient. And he could save until he had the money to pay for something before he bought it. The only thing that we ever made payments on was our very first, what they used to call copy machines. And we bought it from a Baptist church for $500 and made 10 $50 payments 10 months in a row. And that's the only thing we ever made payments on. Everything else was paid for. Well, anybody who ever gets to the point where they're debt-free, you can say that's somebody who is prudent with their finances. Proverbs talks a lot about prudence, and prudence is good management. You know, a lot of people never have money, and they think it's because they don't make enough money, or they blame it, they get mad at their employer, well, you don't pay me enough, when really they're making a proper wage for the job that they have, but they're not managing their money properly. And so just because you decide to go out and make a lot of debt doesn't make it somebody else's responsibility to pay you enough to pay off all those debts, because even if they did, you know what? If you have a problem in this area, you'd still be in debt, because until you realize the truth in this area, you'll always end up spending more than what you actually make. My husband has a little thing that he lives by that he calls give some, spend some, and save some. So out of everything that you get, if you save a little, give what God tells you to give, and spend a little on yourself, then eventually you can have everything you own without being in debt. Now, you know, today debt is just, I mean, the world begs you to be in debt. It gives you all kinds of ways to be in debt. And for most people, it would never even occur to them that they could be debt-free. And probably even in saying that, there may be those of you in here, and I'm sure many watching by television, you just think, well, that's just not possible. But I tell you, all things are possible with God. But if you have a lot of debt right now, you'll never be debt-free unless you're willing to be diligent. Amen? Proverbs 10:4 says, he becomes poor who works with a slack and an idle hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And you know, rich, I don't think, are wealth or prosperity. As I use those words today, remember that it's not just about money. I mean, you can have money and no peace and still be poverty stricken. You can have money and no joy and still not have a happy life. So true prosperity is having an abundance of everything that you need and some left over to share with other people. Now, Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and I happen right now to be working on a book on Proverbs, so I talk about it quite a bit right now. And it talks about being prudent. And prudence is good management. And sadly, some Christians think they can just pray everything away or pray everything in that they need without using the principles that everybody else in the world would have to use. So just because you have a dream or a vision or a goal that you really believe came from God, that doesn't mean that God is just going to make it happen without you applying all the same principles that you would even if you weren't praying. A dream comes to pass with much business and painful effort. Now, if we're going to talk about diligence, I think we need to know what the word means. And so in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, which I would highly recommend that everybody own one of those. It's just, it was true definitions based on the Word of God before everything got so carnal and humanistic. And so in that dictionary, it says that it is steady application in business, being constant in effort or exertion to accomplish what is undertaken. You know, I don't know why you guys aren't smiling when I say effort. And you're just really kind of like very straight-faced. Constant in effort or exertion. You know, I've been working out with weights 3 times a week for about 13 years now. And I thought the other day, am I ever going to get to the point where this isn't hard? And the truth of the matter is if there's no effort, if it's easy to do, then it's not doing you any good. So if I get to the point where I don't really feel it or it's not doing me any good, then I obviously need to increase my weights. Or as I've gotten a little bit older, I've had to decrease some of mine because no matter how godly you are, your body does age, and you can't always do the same thing when you're 50 or 60 that you could do when you're 20. So we need to use wisdom. Constant in effort or exertion. Exertion to accomplish what is undertaken. Being attentive, industrious, not idle or negligent. Steadily applied, not carelessly or negligently. And then the Hebrew and the Greek from the Vines Dictionary says that diligence is a working. A working. Not works of the flesh, but we have to work toward things. How many of you agree with me that we've kind of gotten to the point, especially in the Western world, where we kind of are addicted to comfort and convenience and ease? And we can whine about some of the silliest things. Like when I said wealth, there's a lot of people watching that would think, well, I'm not wealthy. Well, you know what? Compared to 2/3 of the rest of the world, if you have a roof over your head, some clothes to put on, and something to eat, you are extremely wealthy. Our problem is greed, and we just keep wanting more and more and more and more and more. And God wants us to learn how to manage well what we have. Now, how many of you are ever tempted to give up on something that you start? Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't talking to people that are so spiritual that you didn't need this. Wonder how many people here have started to diet and quit when they got hungry. You know, it's very easy to go on a diet Sunday night after dinner. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to start my new eating plan. And that's good until maybe 3-4 o'clock the next day when you get hungry, and that's a different story. A friend of mine is on a new eating plan, one of the popular ones out there, and she's losing about 2 pounds each week. 1 week she lost 3, 1 week she lost 1, and that doesn't seem like very much. You might say, well, that's an average of 8 pounds a month. But if she does that for a year, even leaving room for her to not be 100% good every day, in a year, she would lose 80 pounds. Now, that's going to make a big difference. But you see, it's little by little by little. And you have to realize when the going gets tough, which it always will, that there is a reward at the end. Studying the Word of God, working with God to let Him make the changes in you that you need to make. I'm sure a lot of you girls from the Mercy Home, you know how hard it is to make those changes in your life and to stick with them. And it's even easier now that you're with a lot of other people doing the same thing. And I don't mean to sound negative, but when it's really going to get challenging is when you get out on your own and there's nobody there giving you a pep talk every day, telling you what you need to do. And you know, I always tell people when they come to my conferences, I'm so glad you're having a good time, but I do want to tell you that you have to go home. And they all go, oh. See, it's easy when the music's playing and the lights are flashing and everybody's clapping and cheering and you got somebody really pumping you up, you know, being a spiritual cheerleader. But we all end up by ourselves in a tough time having to make our own decisions. I always like to say that we all eventually have to face our own Goliath. We can't always have somebody else doing things for us that we eventually need to do for ourselves. So it means a working. It is indicative of a process. Business gain gotten by work. Endeavor. Pains. Earnestness. And zeal. To hasten to do a thing, not procrastinating or putting it off until later and to attend to carefully. Now, you know, procrastination is about one of the biggest liars that exist. Because we always think, well, I'm going to do it. But see, there's no reward in I'm going to do it. There's no seed sown that will bring a harvest in your life if you're going to do it. And I think it's very deceptive. Well, I'm gonna clean that garage out sometime this year. So that makes you feel good. Yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna get my body in good shape this year. Well, when are you gonna start? Well, soon. Well, what is soon? It's still another way to put it off because we are experts at avoiding pain and discomfort. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Now, everyone who is impatient hastens only to want. As I said before, we find some people who get angry with their employer because they have financial problems or pressure. You're not paying me enough, is what they say, and even what they tell others. But there's more to prosperity than just giving an offering and confessing a few scriptures out loud over your life. And there's wonderful scriptures. Let me just read a few. He became poor that we might be made rich. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Beloved, I would above all else that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God delights in the prosperity of his children. God will prosper you and your children more and more. Give, and it shall be given unto you. See, God is the Lord of the harvest. But now listen to what I'm going to say. You are the Lord of your seed. He gives us all seed to sow. The Bible says that. Not seed to stick in your pocket, but seed to sow. And we must be diligent in sowing if we expect to be diligent in reaping. So remember that. God is the Lord of the harvest. There's no harvest without the God factor involved. But there's no harvest either without the seed being planted. And I'm not just talking about wealth. You know, anybody that's wanting to change, for example, you can't do that without being a diligent student of the Word of God. And that doesn't mean just letting somebody else preach to you. It doesn't mean even just reading a book that somebody else has written. It means eventually you're going to have to get in and dig into the Word for yourself and spend your time. And when you do that, the Word of God is full of power, and it has the power to absolutely change your life. There are so many things that we just expect today that at one time were considered blessings. And so we really need to be careful that we don't just start expecting things that we're not putting any effort into. When I was younger, I changed that on my notes. First I had when I was young, and then I put -er, when I was younger. People always started at the bottom and worked their way to the top. And it is so good for us to do that. It was expected and actually enjoyed. It was accomplishment and excellent in work that people were proud of. But today we deal with thousands of dissatisfied people, and I believe much of the reason why people are so dissatisfied is because too much is handed to them. Anybody see what I'm talking about? Too much is handed to them without them putting the effort into it that they need to put into it. And some of you in the room that are a little bit older, not old, but older, you remember what things were like 50, 60 years ago. And some of you that are younger, you of course weren't around then, so you don't, expecting things immediately seems normal to you, but it's not biblical. It's really not biblical at all. And so I really just want to encourage you today that no matter what it is that you're trying to do in life, remember, it's going to take time. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be a million times when you want to quit and give up. But once again, it takes absolutely no courage at all to give up. Anybody can give up. You don't need to be born again and full of the Holy Spirit to give up. You have God in your life, and I have God in my life to help me keep going when I feel like I want to give up. He's the one who is our strength. And so I wrote a book called Never Give Up. And so we're offering this book to you today for any amount that you want to send into the ministry. And of course, we ask that you do your best. See, this is a good test. Don't do the least you can just because I said you could. But go the extra mile. See, that's the way we need to live. We need to always go the extra mile. Never do the least that you can, but always do the best that you can. And even if nobody else sees that, God sees it. And that's what he rewards. And so your offering today will not only get you this book, but it's going to help us keep the gospel going around the globe and help us help a lot of people in need. Thank you for being with us today. We love you. God bless you.
Take the time you need and just breathe. Be sweet to your soul. Learn how to rest even when the world continues to spin. At the Love Life Women's Conference. Get recharged through powerful messages from Joyce Meyer.
You are a woman of God, and women are powerful. World, watch out. Here we come.
Stephen Furtick.
God is fighting for you. You get his help. You get his strength. You get his miracles.
Annie F. Downs.
You feel like you're in the fire. I'm here to say that God is going to pull you out.
Lisa Osteen Combs.
He is my strong tower, and I can run to him, and I will always be safe.
Dave Meyer. And music with Torrin Wells and Chris Tomlin. Join us in peachy, sun-kissed Atlanta, Georgia, or high up in the mountains of Denver, Colorado. Space is limited. Act today to save on your registration and get a free download of this weekend's teachings.
I want to thank Joyce Meyer Ministry and Hand of Hope so much for the impact that they've had on our community. Hand of Hope, from the beginning of when Car Fire first came into town, has been here with us, from helping us establish a distribution center to giving $1,000 gifts to every homeowner that lost their home during the car fire. And now with the forestry team, where we're out clearing property to allow people to have a safe place to rebuild, removing their trees. And now with the home rebuild of Hand of Hope partnering with us to rebuild a home that otherwise would be impossible for this family. Thank you so much for all that you're doing, for the impact you've had on us as Bethel Church and Bethel Global Response, and on our community and the individual homeowners that experience the love of Jesus through your generosity. You guys are making impossible things possible. So just thank you for your generosity and your partnership.
You know, this whole thing about wanting to teach spiritual maturity, it's all involved in the soul. I mean, once you're born again, you're fine spiritually. Everything that you need is right way down deep in your spirit, but it's got to be worked out in your soul and out through your body for you to enjoy it or for anybody else to be affected by it. And James 1 says that the Word contains the power to save our souls. It's not talking about being born again. It's talking about to renew your mind, to help you grow to the point where you can want what God wants instead of what you want, and to help you not get rid of your emotions, but enjoy the good ones and control the bad ones with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I think a lot of people, just you go look at yourself in the mirror, and that tells you nothing about what you really are. You know, you can always say you can dress it up and take it to church, but that still doesn't mean that you're a real Christian behind closed doors. So It's the hallmark of my teaching, this whole thing of spiritual maturity. And it's one thing to tell somebody to grow up. It's another thing to help walk them through it.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.